بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 18th of July in the year 2021 and alhamdulillah we've completed the 17th week the 119th night that we're going through the illustrious life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali ibn Abu Talib radiyallahu anhu. And tonight is the night of Arafat. The Hajis will be getting prepared to go to Arafat tomorrow. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hajj is Arafat. So we ask Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon us due to the guests that he is honored to invite. Amen. So among the subsection with regards to Sayyidina Ali's immense knowledge of the glorious deen, with regards to the divine decree, a man once came and inquired from Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu about the divine decree. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said, it is an immense ocean. Once you dive into it, you will not come out again. The man persisted. He goes, no, tell me about the divine decree. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, it is a mystery that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which you cannot comprehend. Therefore, do not delve into it too much. The man persisted. He goes, tell me about the divine decree. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, O you who asked this question, let me ask you a question. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create you the way he wished or the way you wished? He replied, he created me the way he wished. Hazrat Ali thereupon said, radiallahu anhu, thus the power is ultimately in his grasp and he decrees as he wills. This is recorded by Hafiz al-Mubarak Furi rahmatullah alayhi in his Tuhfatul Ahwazi 6-279. So note, there was the fish and the fowl. Everybody was around Sayyidina Ali. So this was a favorite pastime of the Muslims. The divine decree. You know, his people always love us talking about this. The danger with it is that it's an article of Iman. If you do not believe that the decree is written, you exit from the fold of Islam. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the decree is mentioned, be silent. In other words, you might say something which is foolish, which might take you out of the fold of Islam. The hadith is in Tabarani Sahih. So this man persisted. Look at the answers Hazrat Ali is giving. The first answer he gave was this. It's a bottomless ocean. You can't get to the bottom of it. So what he was basically saying is, there's no point discussing it. We haven't got the faculties to get to the bottom of the ocean. The man goes, no. Second response. It's a mystery. Allah Ta'ala, only he knows. This is his sifat. Don't go too much into it. When he persisted, then he gave him a very simple response. Did Allah Ta'ala create you the way he wished or the way you wished? Meaning, you're a male. Who made you a male? Right? You've got certain features. Who gave you those features? Did you have any say in the matter? If it was up to us, I would be born in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'd be his next door neighbor. Was it up to me? So the Prophet, Ali radiallahu anhu said, therefore, ultimately, it's all in his hands. We think we've got some say, which we have, but ultimately it's in his hands, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another example, another man came to him. He's a Amir al-Mu'mineen. He said, I don't understand Qadr, divine decree. So Hazrat Ali then looked at him, and this time he gave an even more simple answer. He says, lift one foot up. So he goes, he stands on one foot. He now lift the other foot up. And the man then goes, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he goes, that's not possible. He goes, that's the Qadr. Meaning you've got some say in the matter, but ultimately Allah Ta'ala is in charge. So look how beautifully he's breaking it down and explaining these very difficult subjects. You know, if you go too much into it, he goes, you will literally blow a fuse. 50,000 years before Allah Ta'ala created the heavens and the earth, he wrote what was to come. Now think about that. Why did he choose 50,000 years? Why not just before he created? Think about that. Just before he created, I'm going to write everything. just to add salt to the wound. He goes, 50,000 years before I even start creating, I'm going to tell you everything. Which leaf is going to fall. Everything's going to happen. Which I have already wrote down. Now that writing is not his knowledge. The knowledge is eternal. The writing has a starting point. 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens. So the knowledge comes first. Then the writing. Then the qada, the execution of the qadr at the relevant time. This is all you need to know about the qadr. On the same theme, somebody asked, O Amir al-Mumineen radiyallahu, how will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring his slaves to account with such colossal numbers? Hazrat Ali radiyallahu anhu said, just as easily as he provides for them despite their colossal numbers. Recorded by Adab al-Dunya wa-Deen, page 26, Fara'id al-Qalam, page 339. Now think about that. Shaitan puts these thoughts into your head. How many jinn have there been? Millions and billions. Right? Thank you, Shaitan. How many human beings are there? Millions and billions. Right? How many are there now? Millions and billions. How many is going to come to a Qiyamah? Billions. So what does Shaitan put into your head? How is Allah Ta'ala going to account every one of them? Every single action that they've done, he's going to account. Look at the response of Ali radiallahu. This shows he was a genius. He goes, just as easily as he provided for them. Is it a strain on Allah's resources? My God, there's too many humans on the earth. I need to get vaccine in. Take them out. Right? This is a human conspiracy theories, right? Allah provides. Not a strain on his resources. In fact, there's a report in the books of Tafsir. And Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, because he had a microscopic kingdom like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He goes, give me a kingdom that nobody will have after me. So Allah Ta'ala gave him a kingdom like his, but microscopic level. So what happened was, when he had this power, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, through his blessed heart, he thought, if anybody could invite the world, it's me. In other words, you know, like you say, wedding, whatever, get them all invited, I can do it, I've got all this power. So Allah Ta'ala then said to him, go ahead, prepare the feast. So there is books in the books of Tafsir, so he does it. Imagine what he's doing with Jinnat and, you know, whatever under his command. Huge, you know, slap up, as they say, innit? And the report says, one fish came out of the ocean, swallowed it, and it probably grounded itself and died. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam goes, subhanAllah. And then Allah Ta'ala told him, that's just one. Because I feed him a couple of times a day. In other words, is that all you could do? So Allah Ta'ala, when he's providing, he's ar-Razzaq. There's no strain on his resources. In Sahih Bukhari, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said, look at what Allah Ta'ala has created. Has his resources diminished? Think about that, innit? You know, subhanAllah. So just as easily as he provides for them, that's how he'll bring you to account. Very easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Consider the most eloquent words of our blessed Mawla. In Kanzul Umal, volume 1, page 76, he said, the most eloquent amongst people and the most versed in Allah the Great and Almighty is the one who most loves and glorifies La ilaha illallah. Subhanallah. Shall I say that again? What did he say? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu. The most eloquent, the most versed in the greatness of Allah. Think about that. Is there any greater subject? I'm a mufti. Mufti of what? Right? Mufti of the greatness of Allah. That's what you call a mufti, isn't it? Hazrat Ali goes, this is the most learned person. The most eloquent, the most versed is the one who most loves and glorifies La ilaha illallah. He understands it. He's totally in love with that formula. He lives his life according to it. He can't stop uttering it. He goes, he is the one who most loves and glorifies. This is the one who's the most eloquent, most versed in the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let me ask you a question. When Sayyidina Ali was saying La ilaha illallah, was it like mine and yours? Mine and brother say La ilaha illallah. And then you go. But when a person who really understands that formula, you can see in his face, He goes, say, and then he could see the veneration. He goes, La ilaha illallah. Right? Because he's got connection to it. So Hazrat Ali was teaching you. This is the ultimate knowledge, the Shahada. Those who truly love that phrase, they're the most eloquent, the most versed in the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, such is the value of Tawheed, the very bedrock of our faith. He also said, Alhamdulillah is a word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is satisfied with for his own self. He thus likes it to be reiterated. Subhanallah. This is in Kanzul Umal, volume 1, page 210. These are very deep words. They sound very simple. They're not. Alhamdulillah is a word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is satisfied for his own self. Thus he likes it that you repeat it. Think about what he's saying. Can we praise Allah? No, you can't. Anta kama athnita ala nafsik. You are as you have praised yourself, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. We can't praise you enough. So forget us. We can't praise Allah ta'ala. What's Ali telling you here? He's giving you a secret. Alhamdulillah is a word that Allah ta'ala is satisfied for his own self. Imagine, he himself is saying, all praise is for me. And he likes you to repeat it. Bole bali Musliman. Who's told you that? You might as well go see what does Alhamdulillah mean? Alhamdulillah. He's doing it again. Oh, he's at it again, right? Brother, what does that mean? All praise is for Allah. Then he said, translate it, right? So what does it mean? Which person goes, this is what it means. Listen carefully. Allah Ta'ala utters it for himself and he's happy with that utterance. He likes you to copy. Alhamdulillah. Now suddenly starts coming from the heart. Alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala loves it for himself. And he's allowing me to say it. How does the Quran start? Yeah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alamin. Look at these zikrs. You ask me, what does it mean? Thus this glorious zikr truly befits none but the majesty of our loving Lord. Think about that. Alhamdulillah. Who are the only people on earth who say that? The Muslims. Think about it. You know, if you really think about that, is that how ungrateful are we? Alhamdulillah. Brother goes to me, what's the reward for it? Don't worry about it. Subhanallah. In Kanzul Umal, volume 1, page 210, our Mawla radiyallahu anhu said, Subhanallah is a word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is satisfied with for himself. Because it exalts Allah from all evil. He twerked it, Hazrat Ali. Alhamdulillah, why does he love that? Because he's saying it for himself and he likes you to repeat it. Subhanallah, he says it for himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why does he like you to say it? Because it takes away all weakness from him. You ask a person, brother, what does subhanallah mean? Glory be to Allah. Right? Glorified and free from all imperfection is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawheed, these zikrs are tawheed. You can't commit shirk if you understand these zikrs. La ilaha illallah. What does that mean? If you understand that, you love and you are the most versed in the greatness of Allah. How can you commit shirk if you know La ilaha illallah? Alhamdulillah. How can you commit shirk when you know Allah Ta'ala loves that to be repeated from you because he's saying it for himself? Subhanallah. Why does he love for you to say it? Because he's freeing himself from all weakness, all defects. You say it. Thus, this glorious dhikr frees our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala from all blemish, whilst at the same time glorifying him. It's a double whammy. You're glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, Ya Allah, I'm not just glorifying you and letting shirk enter through the back door. I'm glorifying you and I'm saying no weakness. You don't need sons. You don't need daughters. You haven't got a faulty knowledge. Everything, I take all weakness away from you. Subhanallah. Look at Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Just mention him again. again, books of tafsir. He's traveling with the wind, first class. And the scholars said this was something very difficult for the people in the past to understand. Now we understand it. Because when you're on a plane, how comfortable are you? Allah Ta'ala has shown you can do that. But He's given you science now. Anyway, he's traveling comfortably, you know, with his armies. A man sees the whole army flying past. He goes, Subhanallah. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, the whole entourage, he makes it come to the ground. The man is patloon shaking, like thinking, what's happened here? Sulaiman alayhi salam calls that man. He says, what did you just say? Imagine, when he's shaking, goes, oh, Prophet of God, what did you say? He says, Subhanallah. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam says, this kingdom that impresses you so much, it will pass away with my dying, with my passing. But your Subhanallah will never pass away. Let me ask you a question. Where's the kingdom of Sulaiman? Sallallahu alayhi salatu wasalam. Come. Where's that Subhanallah? It's remained. It's still the value of it. So what was the Holy Prophet teaching his ummah? These phrases don't just rattle it like a parrot. In fact, there was a sheikh, he had a parrot, and he taught him to say, La ilaha illallah. He goes, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. So the parrot learnt it, you know, like proper fusa, La ilaha illallah, right? So he thinking, Subhanallah. If a parrot can say it, I'll be easily saying it when I die. Anyway, he parrots, La ilaha illallah. And all of a sudden, one fateful day, there's a cat. He's eyeing up that parrot. And the latch is open. The parrot stops saying it. Sees the cat. Pat pounces, wada hafiz. The sheikh goes, Subhanallah. It's not as simple as I thought. Because Allah Ta'ala gives tawfiq for people to say, La ilaha illallah. Now the lesson here is also deeper. Why? People think I just say it. You don't even know what it means, brother. La ilaha illallah, what do you mean, brother? Gotta go to a scholar for that, brother. You don't even know what La ilaha illallah means. Subhanallah. It is related that Umar radiallahu, he once reduced the striking of a man who said Subhanallah. He reduced his punishment. And he said, make the beating lighter for the one who is saying Subhanallah. For Subhanallah does not abide anywhere except in the believer's heart. This is in Kanzul Umal, volume 1, page 210. So think about this. He was being, you know, it's called, you know, ta'zir. He said he did something wrong. He was being given discipline. When he was struck, what came out of his mouth? What comes out of our mouth, anyway, when you trip? This man was a good man. He went, Subhanallah. Umar goes, reduce it from 10 to 5 or whatever it was. The people were waiting. Why did he do that? And look at the deep statement Umar radiallahu anhu made. Subhanallah, only it resides only in one place, deep in the believer's heart. He goes, he has to be a believer. So do we truly understand what Subhanallah is? Glorified and free from all imperfection is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This man was saying it when he was getting whipped. Think about that. When he was getting whipped and Umar was reduced, he's a good man because he's saying it from the heart. Subhanallah. So now, what are we learning when we're going through Sayyidina Ali's life radiallahu anhu? We're learning that he was very, very, very well versed in the Shariat. He was a living, walking, talking Quran. He was drenched in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the beautiful thing was he broke it down because he knew they were bachari like us. If he was still in his ivory castle, we wouldn't know what he was saying. But look at these statements I'm making here. Who is he talking to? Me and you. They don't understand. Bachari. Look at those beautiful reports. Even greater than Sayyidina Ali. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. You know, famous hadith. But people don't think about it. He says, oh my Lord, give me a special dhikr. Now what's interesting about that? That's human nature. We want so much special. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious says in Nasa'i Sahih Hadith, say La ilaha illallah. What was his response? Imagine Rasulullah. Because everybody says it. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, if this phrase was placed on one side and the seven heavens and the earth and the udh, it would be heavier. Meaning, does it matter if everybody says it? Does it matter? The value of it is priceless. There's nothing greater than this zikr. You've asked me, you're my Rasul. I'm not going to give you the second best. Now you go to a person, I want some special zikr. And that special zikr comes out, I don't know where it comes out from, right? You know, what's this? Oh, this big pizza, you know, inspiration. He was in muraqabah. And this zikr, oh, right? And they're talking about it with such passion. You actually start thinking, this is greater than the great zikrs. These are hackers, right? Allah gives things very easily. He makes it very easy for you to do. That's a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Books come from human beings. Books. That's what I call them, books. Read this book. All your problems will be solved. Well, I must read Quran. It's just a thick. Subhanallah. So now just to add this, to finish. I mentioned a few weeks prior, the infamous work, Nahjul Balagha. So just to reiterate, as mentioned earlier, on the theme of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu's awesome knowledge, one must be very weary of the infamous work which is attributed to him called Nahjul Balagha. What do we know about this work? Hafiz Zahabi rahmatullah alayhi talked about the author. The author of that work is Ali ibn al-Husayn al-Sharif al-Murtada in his Mizan al-I'tidal 3-124. So Hafiz Zahabi, one of the great scholars of the Hadith, he wrote a very famous work called Mizan al-I'tidal, weighing up to find the truth. He's talking about the author of this work, not Ali radiyallahu anhu, another Ali. Beautiful name. Ali, the son of Hussein, Sharif al-Murtada. Big Shaitan, right? He's talking about him. What does he say about him? Quote him. He is the one accused of forging the book, Nahjul Balagha. He not only lied, he made a book up. Whoever looks at that work can authoritatively assert it is a lie against the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Ali, radiyallahu anhu, because within it, there are insults to the two sheikhs, Abu Bakr and Umar, radiyallahu anhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be well pleased with both of them. Ameen. Due to the great bulk of contradictions and flimsy things within it, in addition to the expressions therein, he who has knowledge of the literary style of the Qurayshi companions and those after them can authoritatively assert that most of the book is false. So now let's put that into English. Chip shop paper. Right? That's what he said. Chip shop paper. You know, you get chips. What do you do with the paper afterwards? You start reading it. Oh, it's really cool. Got grease on it. Right? So why did he say that? This is the proof he gave. The first proof is Ali's insulting Abu Bakr and Umar. Is that possible? That's number one. Number two, he contradicts himself. In one sermon he goes yes, another sermon he says no. One sermon he goes north, other sermon he goes south. He's contradicting himself. One, he goes praise the Sahaba, next curse them. Then he said, number three, if you knew the language of the Sahaba, how they spoke, you would know that this is not the words of Ali. Because the poor is poor. The language is poor. But then he said, this is the key point, most of the book is false. Not all of it. Most of the book is false. Meaning there's good things in there. But leave it to the experts. But my response to that is, why are we going there? We don't need to go to these dodgy sources. We've got our pristine sources going back to Ali radiallahu anhu. But you do get commentaries on it from the Sunnis. But they're ulama. And they can detect this is what he said, this is what he didn't say. And what does it translate into? Nahjul Balagh. The peak of eloquence. That's what it literally means. Peak of eloquence. Lo and behold, this flimsy work is highly venerated and thus often quoted by the misguided Rawafid. Think about it. Qafi and Nahjul Balagha. That's the Bukhari and Muslim. They'll say it with passion, oh, the peak of eloquence, Nahjul Balagha. And they quote Ali, God damn the two sheikhs. He said it. Who said it? Astaghfirullah. Nahjul Balagha. Astaghfirullah. Lying about this most noble man is an easy matter for these vile people. They dared to go further, for they have committed this grave, grave crime also against no other than our beloved messenger himself. Where's the proof? Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah in his Minhaj al-Sunnah 1-13, Imam Malik was asked about the Rafida. Imam Malik, rahmatullah alayh, he said, do not even speak to them. Do not relate from them because they are liars. How do you want to go? Right? Somebody goes, how have I gone now? The Imam of Darul Hijrah, Imam Malik, wouldn't even ride sit on an animal in Al-Madinah. Because I have disrespect for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Awliya ikram, mujtahid imam. How much more qualifications you want? What did he say about the Rafida? Don't speak to them. Don't relate from them. They're liars. Did he give no like leeway? Oh no, they don't understand and this, that. Because they're liars. Keep away from them. Shariq ibn Abdullah al-Qadi, known to have leaning towards exaggerating the Prophet's family sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and he was just, take from all whom you meet except the Rafida, for they fabricate a hadith and they make it their religion. This is recorded by Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh in his Minhaj al-Sunnah 1-13. Now think about it. This man, he was exaggerating about the family of the Prophet, meaning he had Shia tendencies. But he wasn't completely messed up. Even he said, with leaning towards, you know, the Shia beliefs, he goes, take from whoever you want, but for God's sake, don't take from the Rafida. They just make things up, and he goes, yep, part of our deen, part of our deen. Similarly, Hammad ibn Salama rahmatullah alayhi said, one of the sheikhs of the Rafida, he said, when we used to gather and find something to be good, we would make it a hadith. This is recorded by Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah in his Minhaj al-Sunnah 1-3. So imagine they got together, come on, talk. And they come out with a beautiful saying. He goes, yeah, 50 imams said it. Right? Come on, make one up. Right? And he goes, oh yeah. Ali, deserving Ali said that. Just making it up. He goes, they're just making their deen up. Subhanallah, Ibn Kathir, Imam Shafi, what did he say? Imam Shafi, rahmatullah alayh, he said, amongst the people who follow their own desires, I have not seen a group bear witness to more lies than the Rafida. Recorded by Hafiz Ibn Kathir in his Ikhtisar Ulum al-Hadith, page 109, Imam Malik slammed him. Imam Shafi goes, I've seen liars, but these take the biscuit. Right? These are the mujtahid imams of liars. Subhanallah, if they had only taken heed from the one they professed to follow. Sayyidina Ali, what did he say? Radiallahu to finish. Do not lie about me. Whoever lies about me enters Jahannam. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Ali said, not the Prophet. Sayyidina Ali said, do not lie about me, Ali. Radiallahu. Whoever lies about me shall enter Jahannam. Who's he talking to there? This is in Ahmad in his Musnad, volume 1, page 150, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 332 of the New English Translation. Abu Dawud al-Tayalisi, page 17, relates similar. So why am I mentioning all this? Because when you talk about Sayyidina Ali, you invariably will end up with some caucus. And it's so important to verify what's been said from that great man. What did I mention a few moons ago? One of the Tabi'een said, what great knowledge they've corrupted. This is in Sahih Muslim. Because they were quoting Ali and he heard lies about Ali. And the Tabi'een was so hurt. He goes, what immense knowledge they've corrupted. Meaning, you had such a treasure house and now these shaitans have polluted it. Astaghfirullah. So note, alhamdulillah, his words are still preserved by the true inheritors of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all I mentioned today was again taking a glimpse into the great knowledge of Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu, and not an unending subject. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? So سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك رب العالمين شيطان جيب سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصل بالحق وواصل بالصبر